our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 429, the first stanza. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation before the gods, with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. And what follows, Psalter 429, the first stanza. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Hebrews 12. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuseth him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, we have heard out of thy holy word that thou requires, and justly so, that we serve thee acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. That surely includes when we draw nigh unto thee with our unclean lips. To that end, clothe us with humility and profound reverence, that we may be given a deep impression of unto whom we speak. Where thou wert clothed with honor and with majesty, surrounded by the holy angels and the souls of just men made perfect, where they are given to praise thee perfectly, Lord, then on this Lord's Day, thou wast granted many reasons to do the same. Wilt thou grant by thy Spirit that true and humble thanksgiving, then thou wast granted in this morning hour, that the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ may be administered in our midst. And then in this evening hour, then we are all called to examine our hearts, how it was in this morning, the exercises, the prayers, and our heart, unto the guests to closely examine whether they had a wedding garment merited by thee and put on by the Spirit, received by the arms of faith. Thy church learns that it is all of grace, and also to examine how it was at the table, how they have left the table, and how it is in this evening hour, whether there is that praise and thanksgiving, whether it may be as with the psalmist of old, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me, Lord? Thou most perfectly knowest who are thine. In the midst of the congregation, a confession has been made. We commend unto thee the whole congregation, the boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that only name given under heaven may yet be proclaimed, whereby we must be saved. Thy dear Son, a mediator that is merited, but also a mediator that applies those benefits by his Spirit. To that end, may the prayers be multiplied for a richer coming of thy kingdom, and that thy great and worthy name may be glorified, and may that blessed communion be experienced by souls in this evening hour. Lord, bless thy word in the church. Bless thy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers also in the summer months to instruct their dear children in that aforesaid doctrine. thou wast given in the past week, that another school year may come to an end. Then thou wast helped fathers and mothers, the teachers, the administration, the principals, the school board, the bus drivers. Thou wast spared all. Oh, if it may please thee, may thou also spare for the summer months. Most of the exams have been written by the students. There are still some that remain. Well, to grant thy gracious help. And then at the end of this week, hopes to be graduation, where some students have come to a special milestone, Lord. May it be a Christian graduation, a humble acknowledgement of all thy mercies, and a prayer for thy help in the future. Wilt thou so remember those students? Wilt thou bless them? Oh, do convert them. Wilt thou take them by heart and by hand? We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth. Remember all the vacant congregations. Call us when out, come over and help us. Be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Uphold the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish people. Do remove the veil. Remember that country, also the country of Ukraine, at war. May it be blessed. May it be sanctified. Remember our mission field, thy servants, the team. We commend unto thee the church worker, who together with his wife and children may be in furlough and may dwell amongst us for some weeks. Do grant them some rest. Grant them a personal blessing, and that in due time, with a fervent desire to return to be a sower of the seed. The labors are manifold. May it please thee to grant more servants for thy vineyard. Remember him who has been accepted to enroll in our theological school, with everything that stands before him, together with his family. Grant more teachers for our Christian schools, and also a church worker for our mission field. Remember our nation. Remember all the leaders. Oh, do grant yet a returning while it can yet. And while it may yet, we commend unto thee all the suffering and the distressed, the congregation where thou wast spoken so loudly. Ah, remember those that were called upon to flee their dwellings, perhaps only the clothes with them that they were wearing. And were their thoughts multiply, overwhelmed, not even possible to go back to look at their dwellings, then they have experienced how uncertain that everything is. Ah, may this solemn calling, may it be used in the midst of that people. Wilt thou remember and uphold thy servant? We commend unto thee all widowers, all widows, Those that have brought children and dear ones to the cemetery, do continue to uphold them. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the residents, and those that may care for them. Remember the sick and afflicted, the mother who was scheduled for surgery, and for the future treatments. Oh, do grant her, together with her husband, a place at thy footstool, begging thee for thy help and for thy blessing, that the hand of the physician may be guided. Remember all under the physician's care, with great fears, with concerns, at times overwhelmed. We commend unto thee all the handicapped ones, the crosses, the burdens. Do bless the family circles. Lord, we now humbly ask thee that thou mayst send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion, and that thy word may go forth with power divine, go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, those that may be in their dwellings, from dwelling to dwelling. Wilt thou bless and remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, with profound impressions, unworthy, undeserved, forfeited, and sent away. 'Tis so necessary that that is experienced in the heart, but with our eyes upon thee. We have heard out of thy word, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And thou hast declared, I do it not for your sake, but for my great name's sake, O house of Israel, our Lord. Do it then in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 17, the five stanzas. O Lord Most High, with all my heart, thy wondrous works I will proclaim. I will be glad and give thee thanks and sing the praises of thy name. And what follows, Psalter 17, the five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Hebrews 12, the last phrase of verse 2, and the verses 3, 4, and 5. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Our text words speak of looking unto an exalted Jesus with three thoughts. In the first place, a looking by a militant church. Secondly, a looking to the enthroned King. And thirdly, a looking by a chastised child, looking unto the exalted Jesus by a militant church to the enthroned King and by a chastised child. Beloved congregation, when in this evening hour, when we hope to consider in the context of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and also in a reflection service, and when our first point is looking by a militant church, then we must not misunderstand it. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when by the true child of God in a post-communion service, an overflowing heart of love, and that they may be given to look unto Jesus in a way of thanksgiving. Concerning that thanksgiving can make it plain for our boys and girls. When you receive something special, then you must give thanks, say thank you, maybe to father and mother. If you would receive a bicycle, then you do not first ride it for a while, but then you first look at father and mother and say thank you. Many examples in the Bible for the church looking unto Jesus. At 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Thanks be unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Oh, through his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When we read the Psalms, then we have special Psalms of praise. The last five, they begin with praise ye the Lord, and the end the same. And what a privilege and a blessing it may be on the Sabbath of the Lord's day in the evening that there may be a looking unto Jesus, because I read in Romans 11 verse 36 of him, through him, and to him be all things, unto him be glory forever. Concerning a reflection service, then our text words speak of the exercises of faith, the true saving faith, that is an act of faith wrought by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord shall see to it. We hope to hear it in this evening hour, that he keeps his child at his throne, although how often they are a wandering sheep. We have heard it in this morning hour from 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 23 through 29, the call to examine ourselves. And when we examine not ourselves, and that we take of that bread and drink of that cup unworthily, not discerning the body of Christ, then we eat judgment to ourselves. Does not say the judgment, but then the apostle is given to warn for the partakers to continually to examine their hearts and their lives, and the judgments that consists of the hardening of the heart, and that it can be with the partaking of the Lord's Supper that we rest thereupon, not further exercises of faith, that we rest upon the sacrament, and so we deceive our poor souls. And now in our text words, then it speaks in the context of looking unto Jesus. O congregation, that is our only hope. Still declared that the Father has given his dear Son, that sinners may and shall be saved. O children and youth, may you be given to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. May you be given to seek the Lord early, older ones. The world is quickly passing by. This past week by renewal, the longest day of the year. And so it goes with our life when we are young and spared. With the blessing of the Lord, it may go upwards, it may increase, and there comes a time when it levels off, and if we become old, then it goes downwards, and then there is one thing needful, that by the grace of God, by a true saving faith, that we may receive a saving knowledge of the Son of God. And now we read in our text, following the words of this morning, a word is spoken of the humiliation of Christ and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it is in the context of a militant church. Boys and girls, think of a military. There are soldiers. And the true child of God shall have a great strife with that triple-headed enemy, and that strife, that warfare, that is declared in different ways in these texts. And then already in verse 1, then we read of those runners on that race with patience. And when is that patience now exercised? In the first place, then we can speak of providential trials, that the Lord tests this child, that the Lord sends those trials. We hope to hear more of that in our third thought. In the second place, patience exercised with unfulfilled promises. Think of an Abram. Was not a promise that he has taken, but it was given. Think of David when he was persecuted, when there were times that it seemed that the Lord would not fulfill his word and that he would be slain by Saul. Unanswered prayers, when a soul may be given to believe that they are heard. Special opening at the throne of grace to taste of that love and of that peace. And then as a Zechariah and an Elizabeth to become old. And more so when it continues for a longer time. How many different places we read in the scriptures of a waiting church. Psalm 27, the verses 13 and 14, oh, wait upon the Lord and keep courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. I say, wait on the Lord, O waiting souls. Remain at his footstool. Jesus is the author and the finisher of the faith of his people. And then further we read in our text words that that militant church is described, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And then, of course, in the first place, how weary the church can become with self, because that strife with that old man that never ceases, and how they can be troubled with sins which they thought they have conquered when they lift up their ugly head, when they learn more and more of their evil heart. When we think of that weariness, think of what Paul as written to the Romans, in Romans 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But then by faith he was given to look unto Jesus. Thanks be unto Jesus Christ, who giveth the victory. Then how weary the church can become with the devil. Our old fathers, they have spoken more of these matters than what we hear in this day. Thomas Brooks, a Puritan that was born in the beginning of the 1600s, and then there are 6 volumes of his works. And in the first volume, then nearly half of that volume is devoted to the remedies against the assaults of the Prince of Darkness. Reverend Brackle, in his reasonable service, in the 4th volume, has written of these things. When we speak of these matters, then it is possible that there are people that think, but that is now concerning the beginning of the way, and it is true. Oh, when the Lord begins that good work, Jesus as the author, by his Holy Spirit, then how they can be troubled and assaulted by the Prince of Darkness with many a question. But the child of God shall experience the true child of God. I shall experience those assaults to the end of his life. It is true. It is different, experienced in a different way concerning the concerned church and the further led church. But let us mention the Apostle Paul. Then I read in 2 Corinthians 12 that the Lord has given a thorn in the flesh. And then it is written that he was buffeted by Satan. Then we see the depth of the assaults of the arch enemy of the church, and how wearied that church can become. Then they can be wearied with the world. And in the context in Hebrews, it was written to a persecuted church. Then, of course, when we speak of being wearied in the way, as we read in verse 3, and to be faint, then we could also speak of those that labor in the vineyard of the Lord, and how weary they can become when there is not a given heed to the loving exhortations, when the congregation refuses even in an outward way to forsake the world and the evil ways thereof. But now we read in our text for that militant church, the strife with that triple-headed enemy, that they are called upon, exhorted to look unto Jesus, and then to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Then oftentimes it has been being for the true child of God, in the way of persecution, in the way of troubles, in the way of trials, that they were given to look unto Jesus and to consider the contradiction of sinners. No place for him upon the earth but a dark stable. No place in Israel had to flee to Egypt. How that his words were not believed. His miracles were ridiculed. He was called a glutton and a winebibber. Then especially the leaders of the people, then they have tried to catch him in his words. And why was it? Because of his holiness and because of the warning of sinners for their ruin and for the uncovering of false foundations. And so it shall be in the midst of the church. The more that they are given by the grace of God to resemble their master. And as I read in Romans 8 verse 29, to become conformable to his image and to his holy word, and to be a witness against the sins of the time, the greater that the persecution shall be. And then the apostle has added, in the midst of their troubles and in the midst of their trials, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, it is true. We have heard it from chapter 12 that there were those that have experienced the spoiling of their goods. But we read in our text of that word yet. Congregation, do we sometime think, do we meditate? What lies ahead, it is true, the King, he is enthroned in the heavens, and he shall take care of his church, and also that his church shall be gathered. But then we see that the enmity against the Son, against his word, against the living child, is greatly on the increase. And then the apostle is given to declare, ye have not resisted unto blood. Young and old, what does our religion cost us? Are we willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross? Or concerning, of course, the Bible must be our textbook, but the Lord in his providence, and especially in the ages where the light has shone so brightly, then the Lord has left that heritage of our godly forefathers. And when we read Pilgrim's Progress of Bunyan, then we read of that strife, but then we also read that Christian and hopeful, that they have met with different people, that for a certain time, that have traveled with them. And then we read of a talkative that could speak religiously, but he was not walkative. And Christ has declared, by their fruits ye shall know them. Then there was also a Mr. Baez, and he has admitted to Christian and Hopeful that there was a difference, that they were not as strict, and that Mr. Baez, oh, his religion did not strive against wind and tide. It was a religion of silver slippers when it was profitable. And he had three companions that traveled with him. The one was called Hold the World. The other one was Money Love. And the third was Mr. Save All. And now we read in our text, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, people of God. When we read our text words, then we speak, then we hear of the exercises of faith, and it is true, can become so quiet, can become so lukewarm. But do you think, congregation, that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, that he has paid such a rich dowry, and then it is his joy when that bride may have a close life, a tender life, conformable to the image of the bridegroom? Oh, that the bridegroom, does he not say in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance and hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance is comely. That true saving faith, wrought by the Spirit, that is a continual faith, special exercises, and blessed that people that may have that close life at the throne of grace. Blessed that people who continually may look unto Jesus, because, congregation, concerning our text words, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, that is our second thought, then concerning that exalted mediator, then it is declared, the author and finisher of our faith. And now the Lord has a people that needs that precious Jesus as the author and the finisher of their faith. In the first place, concerning justification, and we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, according to the Scripture, that justification is perfect, but there are degrees concerning that knowledge. And then the need for the true child of God to come to that full assurance and to hear it, as I read in Psalm 35, verse 3, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And now concerning sanctification, that is in part, but it shall be perfected when their life comes to an end. And now concerning him that sits on the throne, 'tis so clearly declared that the church needs a mediator that has merited salvation, but also a mediator that applies salvation. And now it is a special privilege and a special blessing when in the way of humility and in the way of reverence, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me, the free and sovereign grace, the works, the exercises in beginning, and the exercises in continuance, when the church may be given to look above upon him that sits upon the throne. But oftentimes, then the church becomes exercised with him sitting on the throne when they are in difficulties, when they are in trials, when they are afraid that the enemy shall conquer. Let me give you an example. Acts 7. Stephen has given such a clear testimony of the wonderful works of the Lord. And then there was a multitude that was ready to stone him. And then we read that he lifted up his eyes on high. The heavens opened, and that he saw Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. The Lord has a people, when we consider the first verses of Hebrews 12, then in the first verse, then we read especially of the prophetical office of Jesus. And when the Lord begins, not saying they know Jesus, but they have received another teacher, it has become different that they know. And they listen with different ears and see with different eyes. And then they become so holy, jealousy of that true people of God, that it all becomes real in their life. But now under that prophetical ministry, then they need to be led into that priestly office, of which we have heard out of our text in this morning hour. But now in our text words, when it speaks of him enthroned the right hand of the Father, then it speaks of that kingly office, but not excluding the priestly office. They may never be separated, but they are to be distinguished. And now that great King at the right hand of the Father, who has purchased this church, who has gathered this church, and that seeking church, we have sung it together out of Psalter 17, and many promises in God's Word. Ah, that seeking church, that thirsting and hungering thirst, they shall be satisfied. John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And therefore, seeking church, all be not too discouraged. And then those true seekers, then they can tell us that that seeking already is so sweet. Oh, what shall it be when you may hand in all trade, all your goodly pearls, for that pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was fairer than the children of men, but now was that King. He is that sympathizing high priest. Let us first sing. Psalter 252, the four stanzas. Jehovah sits enthroned in majesty most bright, appareled in omnipotence and girded round with might, and what follows, Psalter 252, the four stanzas. Looking unto an exalted Jesus, looking by a militant church, looking to the enthroned King, and now thirdly, looking by a chastised child. And then we read in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Concerning chastisement in the life of the true people of God, time does not permit to explain it. Perhaps another time. But we read in our text words that the Lord chastises his children. Concerning that chastisement, then we must not make a mistake. We must not think, congregation, when we have many trials and many troubles in our life, that it must be an evidence that we are a child of God. When we go to hospitals, then there are afflicted people with God's word. There are also atheists, Muslims, strange religions. I read in Job 14, verse 1, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And further, it is clearly written in the scriptures, when a people forsake the Lord, despise his word, trample upon his commandments, that the trouble shall greatly be increased. I read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, those that honor me I will honor, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And now concerning that chastisement, then what a questions can arrive concerning the chastisement of the Lord can be in the life of a true child of God. When there is no chastisement, when there are no troubles, then they also have reasons to examine their life. When under those circumstances, when they may have a close, a tender, a dependent life in the fear of the Lord, God's word a central place, oftentimes on their knees, exercised with the coming of his kingdom and the glory of his name, then such souls, then they have reason to rejoice and to thank the Lord for all his goodness and for all his mercies. But when there are no trials and no troubles, when there is not that close life, bound at the throne of grace, not special exercises, then such a one has many reasons to fear, because if it is the true work of the Lord. That Jesus loves his bride too much to leave him in such a condition, and then either by his goodness or by afflictions, then he shall bring them back. And now there is a people upon the earth concerning chastisements. Then it is the question, oh, if they were assured that it was now a fatherly chastisement, then it would be so much easier to bear. But the Lord has a people upon the earth, and then the question is, because speaketh unto you as unto children, and there are souls upon the earth. Oh, what is their desire? The marks can be seen that they are a child of God, but to use that word, a child of that heavenly Father, that is too great for them. Oh, it is true. Oftentimes at the throne of grace, then they call themselves a servant as David, or a handmaiden as a Ruth, asking for the will of God. And then when there are trials, then how they can be exercised, whether it is indeed a chastisement by the Father to correct them, or whether it is a punishment by the judge because of their sins. Then we read in verse 11 the blessed fruits thereof. And let us add, concerning the Lord's dealing with the children of men, then the general way is, we can read it in the scriptures concerning Israel, that he comes with lesser, and when a people does not turn, then he comes with greater afflictions and trials, young and old. How is it in our life? With all the Lord speaking, the Lord has spoken in a special way in the congregation of Rock Valley 10 years ago at this time. The Lord has also sent a flood, but then the floodwaters have come to the parking lot of the Rock Valley Church. Many efforts have been put forth to make the berms and the dikes higher and stronger, but the Lord has spoken, and now the water has come further. How is it in our life concerning the Lord speaking? Do we give heed? Is there a turning, a repentance, a godly sorrow that is so needful in our day? And then we read and verse 25, say that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuseth him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. May we be given to beg much for the work of the Spirit, and then the purpose wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank Thee that Thou wast given another Lord's Day, could come up to Thy house, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper may be administered, and then we are called each to examine our hearts concerning those holy exercises. May Thy people be found to more fervently pray and beg, for that tender, for that close life, for another visit, another word, another token of Thy favor, a strengthening of their faith, to look upon that mediator between God and man, and to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. We humbly ask Thee, wilt Thou watch over us in this week, in the home, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. Wilt Thou keep from harm and from danger. Wilt Thou keep from sin and temptation. Then by renewal we commend unto Thee the congregation, where Thou wast spoken with Thy power and with Thy majesty. Oh, may it be used in Thy hand for the coming of Thy kingdom. Wilt Thou remember on the coming Lord's Day? Wilt Thou help the consistory? Grant many a errands and hers. Remember all those that have an active part in the worship services, our custodians, those that lead the congregational singing, and also the sound system. Lord, wilt Thou remember us with Thy favor? Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 329, the four stanzas. Thou, Lord, hast dealt well with Thy servant. Thy promise is faithful and just, instructing me in judgment and knowledge, for in Thy commandments I trust. And what follows, 329, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.